Did you know that it's physically impossible for pigs to look up into the sky? We've got all sorts of fun and interesting information and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Ryan O.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. What happens when pigs try to fly? Can they still not see any higher? Well, here at Did You Know with Ryan O, we are the podcast all about random facts, figures. We talk about pop culture. We talk about history. We even talk about science, including some of geography. We even like to discuss the awesomeness of accidentology, or we could even talk about historiology. We can even have a lovely conversation about rheumatology. We can even try thalmology and all sorts of other crazy things that end with a G or a Y. Why? Well, because we can. And the awesome part about it is that we're not going to do it alone. In fact, this episode, we're going to hang out with a cool friend of mine. He's a super funny and super cool dude. So, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Bambara. Hello, dude, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Hi.
So how are things treating you on a lovely cold afternoon here in Central Florida?
Things are treating me, what's the word? Well,
that's a long stretch.
No, things are really lovely. I adore this weather. It's wonderful.
It kind of feels like April 23rd or April 25th out there.
Oh, where all you need is a light jacket.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
So for those of you out there, we're currently recording this in the nice brisk moment of November, where in Central Florida, you pretty much have like a couple of weeks where it's just chilly enough, but it also gets to about 80 in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, out of the blue.
Like this morning when I went out to my car, it was 57 degrees. And then the moment I got to work, it was 64 degrees. Yeah. So like choices were made like immediately.
Yeah. No. And the same thing happened to me. I got my hair cut today and that was at like 10:30 and it wasn't terrible. And then right after, I was walking around near Target and I realized I was sweating and I was just like, what's happening?
Did you already layer up beforehand?
No, I was literally in a t-shirt and shorts.
Okay. That's weird, man.
Yeah. Florida.
So how easy was it difficult to find like a good barber or hairstylist in the area?
I've had the struggle like for the past 4 years where at this point I'm just going to one of those like generic hair salon places that has multiple stylists.
So you kind of get a roulette of who you get?
Yeah, and I just kind of like walk in and take whoever's first available.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a couple that I've liked. Like every now and then there's a couple that I really enjoy. And then I'll go back and they won't be working. So I'm like, well, time to spin the wheel.
Nice. I was trying the two most recent ones to my house. They're only like 2 miles away. But the one, they couldn't necessarily, it was hard to get like consistency. So like one dude was really good at, fading in between the two lengths that I like. The other dude was really good at shaping whatever was there. But the hardest part is that with my hair, if you ever see a picture of me, like anybody, even the logo picture, my hair kind of like waves in just a general direction, as you know, as yours kind of does too.
Yeah.
But mine is perpetually curly. So no matter which way I push it, it automatically goes to that direction. Doesn't matter how much product I have. It just wants to go in that way. And yeah. A lot of these folks that I go to don't understand that. So I tried a new place, and it was one of the most awkward places I've been to. They were playing like 1970s, like sitcom, or kind of like, yeah, it was like a 1970s sitcom, but totally in Spanish. And they were making like Castro jokes and whatnot.
So
that's how the environment like started. And I was like, okay, cool. And then at the end of my haircut turned out okay, but the wave in the front didn't necessarily go the way I wanted it to. Because they didn't cut it. So like to do it properly, you leave the top part a little bit longer. And as it gets towards the edges, you kind of make it shorter and shorter as it goes, kind of like as the wave tapers off.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, at the very end, you have a very, very long spot that's like 3 inches long, and it would eventually swoop over into my like eyebrows.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
Well, you have this special method, which is always adorable when I see it happen, is when you just take your head and you just kind of like shift it in one direction and your hair goes that way too because of how like free it is. I love
how much it just how much it like blows in the breeze.
Oh, it's adorable. it's totally awesome.
Yeah, just a little hair flip.
I dig it. It's unique. So like finally I went to this new place, which I'll give you because they're probably near where you're at. I went to this new place. And every single time I've gone, they're pretty good at just about everything. So it might be worth checking them out.
Okay, what is it?
I'll tell you after this. I don't want to like give like free advertising on the podcast.
Oh yeah, I mean 10-4. That makes sense. Yeah.
Anyways,
very fair. Very
yeah.
Fair.
So I just also got a haircut too, and I now notice like when my sideburns are thinner. Especially when the air is colder outside, just how like unprotected my face is when I don't have a beard.
You start getting the chilly cheeks.
Yeah, I feel like my armor is gone. Like my face feels naked or something.
I mean, that's fair. I feel like I've never had facial hair. Can't grow it nicely to save my life, but I've heard that when people shave their beards off, they feel very naked in the face area.
Well, it's like if you were wearing a hoodie for like 3 months straight, and then all of a sudden, nothing else has changed. You just take off the hoodie. That's kind of what it's like. Like you're like a bit of armor is taken off.
It's de-layering, taking off layers.
But for your face.
For your face. Layers of the face.
Well, speaking of amazing and awesome and also awkward things simultaneously, why don't you tell the folks who are listening a bit about you, like where you're from and what sort of things you're interested in?
Oh, okay. So I am originally from Southern California, where I was born and raised. And then I moved out here to Florida, the Sunshine State, where it rains a lot.
The name is ironic. I don't know why they called it the Sunshine State.
I think it was planned irony.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
They looked at it and went, you know what would be so funny? That's what that meeting was. It would be so funny if we just call it this instead. But yeah, so I've been living out here for almost 5 years now, which is insane to think about. And it's been a real treat, honestly. It's been a treat. I really, really enjoy video games a lot, especially Pokemon. Pokemon fanatic, live for it. I've loved it since I was young, but also just anything Nintendo in general tends to make me very happy. What else is? I don't know. There's a lot of cool things.
Right on. What sort of like besides some video games and whatnot? Like, what sort of TV shows have you currently been watching, or like ones that you? Yeah, let's go with currently watching, and then afterwards, I have another question.
So currently watching, Oh, it's so hard because I don't watch a ton of TV. I'm really, really picky about it.
Which is fair. You like what you like.
Yeah. Currently, I'm watching Great British Bake Off on Netflix because I'll watch the reruns, but also they're on a current season that they're releasing weekly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, it was this week was they called it Japanese week because they were making Japanese either themed or like Japanese cultural dishes.
Sure.
And they were making it like true to form. So like when they made the steamed buns, they did everything the way it had to be done so that it was done correctly. And I was like, this is it. Nice. This is wonderful.
One of my favorite things that's similarly to that is like Somebody Feed Phil, which is also a Netflix thing. He goes to like different, it's a travel show, but all about food.
Oh, I've heard of it. I've heard of it.
So instead of him making things, he goes to like all these famous chefs and whatnot from all over the world, but also gets like their culture and stuff. And he's hilarious because he's the dude who created Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
And so he also talks to his family and he just makes self-deprecating jokes like all the time, you know, as you do.
Mood.
Yeah. So it's hilarious. So if you like the food stuff, that's one thing that I can definitely promote because it's one of my favorite shows out there.
Yeah, no, cooking shows, and especially I love baking shows. So like things like Great British Bake Off or Nailed It on Netflix. Nailed It will forever be a staple of like iconic baking television.
Okay.
Have you heard of Nailed It?
I have not.
So is it okay if I go into the premise a little bit?
Go for it, man.
So Nailed It is this wonderful show hosted by comedian Nicole Byer, angel sent from heaven, Nicole Byer.
Oh, sure. I remember her from a podcast where she was watching Star Wars for the first time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She's absolutely wonderful. So they take on the premise of when everyday ordinary people try to bake the extreme and insane cakes that like pop up all over social media.
Okay.
So when people do like that crazy thing where it's like an 18 layer cake where like part of it is cut out and filled with like rock candy to look like a rainbow geode with like fireworks coming out of it and this white chocolate sculpture like on top.
Okay.
And then they make these people who have no idea what they're doing recreate it.
I see.
And it is actually one of the most pure and wonderful things in the world to watch because everyone is giving their absolute best. And even when it turns out horrible, you feel nothing but pride about it because you're like, they did that.
Nice. So Nailed It is like irony at its best, but also with a tiny bit of like heart warmth warming into the title. Hey, you nailed it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. And then like between the different rounds that they're baking, when they're going to like reveal the finished product, they'll like either like move the cover or like lift the lid and they go, nailed it.
Nice. That's kind of awesome.
And it's just so cute. And like, even when they receive negative critiques, it's still kind of like heartwarming because nothing is coming from like a place of like ridicule or anything like mean. Mm-hmm. It's all coming from like, you tried so hard, but like this Shrek looks like he sat in the sun too long and he's melted. And I don't know why his eyes are in different directions. Like,
okay.
They try so hard to be so kind, but yet really constructive with their critiques.
Like maybe next time put his eyes closer to the center before you bake it.
Yeah. Or things like, hey, maybe you could have saved time on decorating had you not put the plastic bowl in the microwave.
Gotcha.
It's a really good time. If you have some time to watch it. It's so fun. So fun.
I'll put both of those on my list. Right now, we just finished watching Lost for the first time, like all together.
Lost is how I feel watching that. I never finished it.
it took the awesome part about it is because is that I got to binge it. So you got to watch them like 3 or 4 episodes at a time. So when you're watching it that close together, you pick up on it a lot easier than if you were to watch it when it came out. I can understand why everybody was confused when it was ending, you know, like the whole thing. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but like everybody was confused about it as it was going on, especially in the very beginning. Polar bears, it's like, well, yeah, but they explain that like in like season 2 or 3. So you just got to kind of bear with it. But yeah, Lost was
bear.
Yeah. So Lost was a journey. It was a hidden discovery for me. I enjoyed it. So our next thing that we're going to jump into, we're going to try to finish Sherlock because we're way behind on that.
Oh, that one's so good. So good.
And then we're going to watch this newest season of Somebody Feed Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time we do all that, because Rachel and I, based on our schedules, only have like maybe like 2 or 3 hours, maybe in an entire day to watch things, whereas some people might have like 4 or 5 because of how early we have to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
So that kind of limits it. So we got that on our list. Eventually, we're going to jump into The Mandalorian because we've seen the first season, but I think it's easier if you can binge a couple episodes at a time.
Yeah, that's how I feel about a lot of things. There's not many shows out there that I can wait like once a week for. Everything has to happen like now.
It's the impatience of like our current ADD culture.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
It's like, hey, can I have like a new episode like right now? And then Netflix just says, yeah, dude, eat it up. Well, go for it.
And it's also so rude. Like there's so much, I don't know why I'm calling it rude, but I'm gonna call it rude anyway. But like, it's so, because there's so much instant gratification and they got to leave us on a cliffhanger. Like, what is this?
Oh, my least favorite part of how a lot of these streaming services are doing things is that they give these writers and producers like so much leash, but these guys don't know how to wrap up a solid story within like 2 seasons. And so you get to the end of the 3rd season and they're done. You get canceled, but your story doesn't have a decent ending.
Yeah. It's like they're like betting that they can keep people watching, but it's like,
but they're not.
Yeah, they're not. I'm like, you got to wrap it up. You got to do something with it.
It's got to either go somewhere or, you know, end it properly. And
yeah,
they choose neither.
Yeah, they just decide maybe it'll get a movie a couple years later.
Oh, no one, but only Firefly can do something like that.
Only Firefly can, but like, would we be shocked if anyone else tried?
They tried doing something. One of Rachel's favorite shows out there is Miss Fisher, and it's a murder mystery set in Australia in like the turn of the century.
Okay.
I would say it's more like the 1920s sort of era.
Okay.
And so there's all these like flapper dresses and these big bands, and it's nice and shiny and fun and gritty and dark too, because it's Australia.
Yeah. Very 20s, 30s.
And so they did a few seasons, and then they decided to do a movie like 5 years later, and we watched the movie and it was a time.
It was a time.
Well, they labeled it Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears. I'm like, that sounds awesome. The title was more fun than the actual movie itself.
Oh, that hurts. Because that sounds like a Nancy Drew novel.
Yeah.
Or like, what was it? Was it like the Boxcar Kids or something like that?
I think so.
Looking it was something.
Boxcar Kids right now.
Because there was like, I think it was around the same time as Nancy Drew. There was also like this other like young adult mystery novel-esque thing.
We got the Boxcar Children over here. List,
ah, that's what it is.
List of their novels is coming up momentarily.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I could have it totally confused.
See, they all took place in like the, 1940s and all the way to the 1970s. But like you get Surprise Island, the Yellow House Mystery, Ranch, Mike's Mystery, Blue Bay Mystery, the Woodshed Mystery, the Lighthouse Mystery. There's kind of a theme on what they label their mysteries.
Yeah, they go a lot of places. They like to go places that have a color in the title.
And then they kind of had different authors do them in the late or mid 90s until more current. So like some of the more current titles are like the Sea Turtle Mystery, Legend of the Howling Werewolf.
They stopped going places and started investigating things, apparently.
The Donut Whodunit.
Oh, I need to read that. Where do I buy this? Where do I buy this book?
Probably on like Google Books or like, I don't know what they're called nowadays.
Yeah.
Wherever you get your books at.
Yeah.
So those are the Boxcar Children.
The donut.
So moral of the story, if there is one, is I did enjoy a lot of the Miss Fisher episodes. But that's because out of all the murder mysteries that she's watched that I've seen with her, it's probably one of the more exciting of them.
Okay.
So if that's your thing, which I don't think it sounds like it is, then I recommend it.
So mysteries I like. I love a good mystery. But when it starts getting to thriller.
Oh, I see.
That's when it starts getting really iffy for me. But I love a good mystery. Like, it was a book that became a movie.
Murder on the Orient Express?
Yes. Stuff like that I adore. I loved sitting there trying to figure it out for them to come up with the ending they came up with. But like, I love stuff like that.
So there's another one that Agatha Christie was the writer, original. She did one called And Then There Were None, which they kind of morphed into like Nine Little Indians, that sort of type of story.
Okay.
Where I was in a play through the company that I worked for. They decided to do like a on the side sort of like stage group, like a little performing group.
Oh yeah, cool.
And in one of the plays we did was And Then There Were None, and it was a semi-dark play based on our director's taste for it, but which was fun. They originally brought me in because they needed some help. They brought me in as like the first guy who dies because I didn't even audition originally. I was just trying to help out my friends because they needed someone with a personality who could act. And I was like, cool. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to have like 12 lines and then I'm going to get killed. This is going to be great. I get to play a drunk. It's going to be an awesome time. So I learned all of his lines. And about 2 weeks later, they say, hey, so the guy who's playing like the main character quit. He can no longer do it. So Ryan, we need you to be that guy. And I'm like, wait, what? No.
Oh my God. So, oh Lord.
I was reading into this guy. I'm like, so what does he do? He's like, well, he's in every scene. He doesn't really say much, but he's in every single scene. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I read on further and further. I'm like, okay, so he's still here. He's still here. Ooh, I get murdered. And so I'm reading this as I'm going, trying to figure out, because I had just stopped reading at the point where I died, like originally, my first drunken character. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm done. But no,
yeah.
I had to keep reading. So I found out, so my next character, I'm calling him like the owner of the house, it seems like. He's like the rich judge type.
Okay.
So the rich judge guy who I ended up playing, he ends up getting murdered. And then I read like 8 pages later, this is like a spoiler to anybody who's ever wanted to read this book, who hasn't read this book in the past 80 years. So they, I turn like 12 pages later and there I am. The last, 8 pages of the book is nothing but me monologuing. Why? Because I'm the killer.
Oh my God. It's been spoiled. Ryan, I've been meeting. The only thing I've wanted to read is this book that I don't remember the name of that you just told me.
Well, don't worry. I can tell you beat for beat about what happens in a future podcast. So imagine my surprise where I'm like, okay, you mean I have to do a supervillain monologue at the end of a play?
I love that.
And I only
had
2.5 weeks to memorize everything.
Oh, you love to see it.
So it wasn't until 2 days before our final performance where I was off book.
Oh my.
Because it's not like I had that much time to prepare.
Yeah. You had a whole supervillain monologue to cover.
Yeah, and it felt like Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, which was an amazing mm-hmm. thing that came out in the mid-2000s with Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion. I'm sure you've definitely seen it.
I have seen it once or twice. I don't know it super well, but I've seen it once or twice.
Well, because it was a classic when it came out, which is about 2008, 2007.
Yeah, something like that.
And so towards the bit, like at the, he does his own classic villain monologue, but turns it into a song. So one of the times they were just setting us up, just like blocking, and I'm standing there with a knife and I just start singing like while we're rehearsing, like, why don't you see what I see? Why can't you realize your disguise is slipping, constantly slipping away? And I'm just like freaking out, just like trying to get into character about just being a complete nut job. And it was a good old time.
I love that. Good old time. Just, you know, singing on stage with a knife. There's nothing like it.
And originally I was going to start off performing with this guy, like playing this guy as like a, look at the Southern accent. Just kind of mm-hmm. like I'm a person who lives here. I'm the judge. And I like the sipping on some sweet tea. And so I was going to do like that sort of thing. I'm like, no, I'm just going to do this sort of soft off. You're not quite sure what sort of accent it is, but I'm here.
There, it's some area of Europe, and uh-huh. that's all that matters.
Yep. But then it kind of just morphed into just my normal voice, just a little more dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it works.
And then towards the end, I just went nuts.
Oh my, I'm imagining it, and it's honestly, I'm kind of sad I never got to experience this.
Oh, I'll try to find pictures, show them to you and post them on the Twitter page or Facebook page once they resurface.
Do it.
Oh, it'll be a grand old time. Yep. And it was all about, trying to find the right beverage to accommodate that character.
Did you say a beverage?
I did, which is what we're going to talk about in just a moment, because we're coming up on our lovely segment known as Ryan O and the Mailbox of Doom, which is where we open up the mailbox and try to escape from a giant boulder while answering questions simultaneously. So the question that was asked a little while back and answered on Facebook was all about what people's favorite tea is.
Oh.
Yep. The question was, what's your favorite type of tea?
Me?
We'll get to you and me after we go through their answers.
Oh, okay.
Yes. All right.
I got so excited.
Oh, yes. It's going to be great. So so the first one we got is a sweet tea with lemonade.
I mean, that's classic Arnold Palmer, right? That's what that is?
That's totally what it is. Let's see. We got hot with a squirt of honey.
Oh, I love that on like a really cold day.
Someone said Earl or chamomile.
Okay.
We got no sugar. My own mother said Long Island style.
Snaps. Snaps.
let's see. Unsweet with lots of ice. We got peach. Irish breakfast.
Okay.
Someone likes green tea or oolong.
Oolong.
Yeah. Black tea, no cream or sugar.
Okay, that's fair.
Let's see. Iced with lemon, cream and sugar, hot with cream. Someone decided to say shaken, not stirred. So choices.
Yeah, choices.
Let's see. Iced with sugar.
I want to know what tea that you shake. Like, I just imagine someone with, like, a hot cup of tea, putting, like, honey in it, and then trying to, like, carefully pour it between two mugs. Just going,
Or, like, a fancy metal tumbler, but with, like, hot gloves.
Yeah, like, they're just trying so hard to not spill anything.
Let's see. I said, so how do you like your tea? So someone said, by the cup handle. let's see, milky, usually blended with like a slushy with baba or boba.
Oh, they like boba. Listen, boba's real good.
Let's see. Someone else said usually with a packet of sugar or just by itself. Cold with lemon. Someone else loves my mother's answer. And Earl Grey hot.
Okay.
So my question to you is, what's your favorite type of tea?
My favorite type of tea is an iced tea, but technically this tea can go iced or hot, and it's called Lady Grey.
Oh, I've heard of Lady Grey.
Yes. I learned of Lady Grey earlier. I think it was earlier this year, back in February, on a tea experience at a theme park.
Okay.
And I got to try it there, and I was like, this is incredible. And they went, oh, it goes really well iced. Then I tried it iced, and it's become my favorite thing. I think it's honestly one of the most refreshing teas, especially when cold.
Nice. My favorite tea is the same as my mother's, but normally I like two of them at the same time.
Oh, at the same time.
Well, yeah, because if you're not just going to have one Long Island, you're like two Long Island would be a good day.
Yeah. Or you do multiple and just call it an island chain.
Ooh. So we had, when I was in college, there was a little park just north of campus called Island Park.
Uh-huh.
And so they had like $2 giant Island Park iced teas.
Was it like an adult iced tea or like a normal?
Oh, it was super
family
adult.
Friendly iced tea. Super adult. So adult, it contained alcohol and it swore at you. That adult.
Yep, that adult. It was so adult, it had a fake mustache and a fake ID at the same time.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yep. And speaking of adult things, we're going to talk about more semi-adult things in just a moment after a word from our sponsor.
Did you know with Rhino?
While you're listening to this ad, I'd like you to look down. Now look back up. Are you wearing an awesome shirt that says Team Rhino? Or a shirt with a duck with a cup spilled over that says party foul? Are you also wearing a really cool button that says Did You Know with Ryan O? Or a hat that says Team Ryan O? Or I Know Ryan O? Well, if you're not doing any of those things, you should be. And you can do so by going to Zazzle.com/store/Did You Know with Ryan O. That's right, folks. I have my own merchandise shop, and you can buy all sorts of amazing awesomeness pertaining to this podcast and show your love by once again going to Zazzle.com/store/Did You Know with Ryan O. Wear it, share it, love it. And now back to our show.
Did You Know with Ryan O?
Alrighty. So you were saying earlier that one of your favorite pastimes is playing video games. What sort of like video games besides Pokemon like do you normally revisit?
So, oh gosh, that's a hard question because like there's a lot that are really fun. My personal favorites besides Pokemon are probably things like most of the Mario franchise is really fun, and then Animal Crossing is always a good time.
I have never played Animal Crossing.
Never?
Well, I think I might have like dabbled in Pocket Camp for like a minute. And then got bored and then kind of, because nothing was happening.
I mean, listen, controversial nerd opinion. Pocket Camp is not Animal Crossing.
Okay. I did not know that.
There's a lot of people that love Pocket Camp because there are some vague similarities, but I tried playing Pocket Camp and I got bored. I was like, to me, this is not my Animal Crossing experience.
So then what is Animal Crossing then, if that's the case?
So Animal Crossing, in a literal sense, is a video game that originally came out on the GameCube, the Nintendo GameCube. And it has had multiple variations throughout it. So there was the original one on the GameCube, and then they came out with another one for the Wii. And then there was, I think, two other variations for the Nintendo DS. And then we got the current one, which is Animal Crossing New Horizons for the Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
The premise of the whole thing, at least for New Horizons, the most current edition of Animal Crossing, is you are I'm going to call him human, but I guess you can kind of say whatever you want. So you are a human who has been offered this island vacation getaway package from a tanuki creature called Tom Nook.
Now, tanuki, is that kind of like those raccoon dudes?
Yes, it's those raccoon dudes. And like what's really – I could like dive deeper into this. There's like – When they've written Animal Crossing into like all the different things and then made the different animals and creatures they're based off of, a lot of things that happen in the game are also based off of the lore of these different creatures as well, which is just really fun. But anyway, so you're offered this island getaway, and of course you're like, island getaway, that's lit, let's go. So you go to this island and you find that there is literally nothing there except for a tent.
Okay.
And Tom Nook goes, welcome to your private island. Now you get to do all the work to make it great. And by the way, you also owe me $10,000.
This guy sounds like the worst type of scam artist or like con artist ever. It's like, well, yeah, I'll give you land, but like now you owe me money. So what's up, dude?
Well, so the fun thing is, you know, the phrase like fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you.
Oh, sure.
This has been going since the very beginning, because even in the original Animal Crossing, you pick up your from wherever you're from and you move to this brand new like town. And then he shows up and he's like, hey, I'll rent this home to you. And you're like, okay, cool. And then he goes, all right, hand me money. And you're like, I don't have any. He goes, okay, then you can do things around town to make money.
Okay.
Yikes. It's the scam that like we just keep falling for.
It's the scam that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's the scam that keeps on giving and then taking and taking and taking.
Oh boy.
But it's so fun.
You think that like his poster would be on like at the post office saying, don't give this guy money?
You'd think so. Like you would think that's the way it is, but like by the time we get to New Horizons, he is running everything. So he's like the head honcho in charge. So you have to go through him to get anything done. So at that point, I think it's beyond the point of saving.
So this guy has scammed his way into running a country.
Yeah, when you boil it down, Tom Nook is just that, is that guy.
That's messed up.
Yeah, but I'm back again.
Okay. So he says, hey, you owe me $10,000. Cool. So what do you do, or bells or whatever it is, what do you do to get that currency?
Yeah, so the bells currency. So things you can do to gain this currency are things like you can go catch fish and bugs, and you can sell them.
Okay.
You can harvest different what's the word? Fruit. I don't know how I forgot that word.
Sure, it's very complicated.
You can harvest different fruits, and then if like every island has its own like fruit that is natural to that island. So my very first island had oranges. Yes, it had oranges.
Okay.
And so when I sold oranges to, oh, you're going to love this. When you sell oranges to the shop, because a little shop moves into your island, naturally. And the shop is run by Tom Nook's kids.
Oh, so he's got the entire family scamming you.
Yeah. Tom Nook is a mafia leader.
That's messed up, dude.
So I mean, or is he, they're related in some way. I don't even know if it's actually kids, but so you take the natural fruit, and I think you get like 200 bells for each piece of fruit.
Okay.
And then if you get the ability, as you complete different achievements or do different things in like the daily tasks, like collecting things to craft furniture or clothing or whatever, or assisting the other things that live on your island, because there are other islanders and people that visit, and you can do different tasks for them, and they'll give you things, and you earn like these miles points towards buying a ticket to travel from your island to a deserted island, and then
is
go back.
Is the deserted island bigger, or?
No.
Okay.
It's just like there.
So why would you want to go there?
So there's a couple different things. So when you are expanding your island, you need a certain amount of residents, and a way to gain new residents is to travel to these islands and happen upon another being.
Okay. So like if I'm trying to get the Muppets to perform a show, I've got to go to a broken down comedy club and grab Fozzie to come with me in my busted up van.
But the thing is, it's not Fozzie. You have to grab a random stranger.
Okay. So that's even more messed up. All right.
You're just like going to like the city, not the city that they're performing at. You're going the city over, and then hoping that some rando on the street is going to be like, yeah, totally, I'd love to go to that show, and then comes back with you.
This sounds super sketchy, dude. First off, you got a crook who's like saying, hey, give me money. Secondly, you got to abduct people and bring them to your island.
Wait, listen, you're not abducting them. They are going entirely by choice, and they also have the option of just leaving there.
Gotcha.
No, but it really is by choice.
Okay.
And there's fully been times that, like, especially when I was first building my island, I've done everything I can for it, but I would go to this island, I would see who's there and wouldn't even talk to them. I would just turn around and leave.
I'm assuming that there are certain people that are more interesting than others, and you can kind of judge a book by their cover. Is that what's up?
A little bit.
Okay. Have like overarching personalities based on your history with the games?
So there actually are personality types. So you have residents that can be lazy. There's one called sisterly. There's one called normal.
So it's like Pokemon types almost.
In a way, but like no one's fighting.
They should. I mean, put them in a match together and
they get into arguments, and it's actually kind of funny.
Then all of a sudden, someone throws a lightning bolt at you, and you're gone. And
I mean, listen, they have the villager and one of the main story characters from Animal Crossing in Super Smash Brothers. So,
okay. I mean, choices.
Yeah, the fight's already happening.
So you bring them to your island. They have the ability to leave. And what makes them stay or want to leave?
So after you talk to them, they'll be like, oh, wow, your island sounds fun. I'll come with you. So then they go to the island and they fully build a house there. Tom Nook convinces them to buy a plot of land and they move in. So they now have a home on the island, and randomly throughout the like every time you log on, every now and then one of them will be walking around with like a thought bubble above their head, and then you'll go talk to them. And sometimes they'll be saying like, hey, I've really loved it here, but I think I should go.
Okay.
And then it gives you the option to either let them leave or convince them to stay.
Okay.
And there are a couple of my villagers that have asked me two or three times, and I've been like, no, please don't.
So you can kind of persuade them to stay on your island?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some that I've just grown, like, I don't want to say I've grown attached to them, but they're just so fun to have around the island, and I like their personality types.
Oh, sure, because it gives your island a little bit more flair, a little bit more je ne sais quoi or something.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when you're around a bunch of people, you keep the people you like around.
Oh, totally.
You don't like, if there's someone you don't get along with, or like you just don't vibe with them, you don't keep them around. If they say I'm out, you go, okay, bye.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. So like sometimes, like my favorite villager, his name is Bo. He's like a gazelle. I think he's what he's supposed to be.
Okay.
He's like or he might be like some kind of mountain goat or something. I can't entirely, they're all like very kawaii.
I'm looking it up right now.
Cute. Artsy. His name is Bo. He's a lazy nature.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it's B-E-A-U. Got it.
Yeah. He is my favorite. He was also.
He's like an ant. He's like a deer dude.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he happens to be my favorite. I've given him a lot of presents.
He's wearing a Christmas sweater and like most of this stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them. He has something very, very like that. And his house is decorated like the Swiss Alps.
He looks drunk.
A little bit, okay. But he's very like, what's the word? Oblivious, I guess, sure. Is the way to, he kind of just wanders around and like looks at things. And like every now and then he'll just like be sitting in the middle of some flowers and just chilling.
Okay.
And like I'll go talk to him about things and he'll just like tell me about the wonders of nature, and it's really fun.
That's kind of dope. I dig it.
Yeah.
So you do all that to get people on your island, and then you do the activities to get more bells, but like what else do you spend bells and stuff on?
So the main thing that bells go to is that, so like after you pay Tom that original fee,
yeah,
he then goes, okay, how about instead of paying 10,000 bells for a tent, you can pay 100,000 bells for a house. So then you build a house, and then you spend essentially the rest of the game, not even the rest of the game, you spend quite some time upgrading your house and continually paying off debt.
Okay, so like upgrading your house, you're talking about like designing it? Because that's what I keep on hearing. Like every time somebody says anything about Animal Crossing, it's like, come check out how cool my island or how cool my house is.
Yeah, so like you can, as you pay off the different loans, you can add rooms, you can put a second floor in, you can put in a basement, the rooms get bigger, you can change the exterior of the house, there's different fencing that you can put on it, you can change the door, you can change the mailbox.
And you could have people come and visit your stuff too?
Yes, you can.
Right on.
You can do, I think you can have up to 10 people including yourself, it might be 8.
I know we had like one guy a long time ago, one of my friends was saying that he was actually on this podcast saying that he did like an Adventureland themed, like Indiana Jones themed house.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that.
It was just based on a brief conversation, like, cool, come check out how cool this house is. And I was like, he sent me a couple of pictures, and that's as much of the Animal Crossing as I've known about besides playing the Pocket Camp. So now that you're telling me that there's a goal where once you pay off your house, you're done with the game, right? Once you pay off your house, the game ends and you're done. There's
no,
no,
no. So the thing is, I like to think of Animal Crossing as you can kind of set yourself up with a bunch of you set the goals that you want to set. If you want the game to end at paying off your house, which is like my boyfriend kind of had that experience. He paid off his house. He's like, okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Whereas I was like, okay, I've paid off my house. Now I have to do all this different island designing where they give you the ability to like terraform and then put down paths and like really get creative, to increase your island rating.
Okay.
And then, so I was like, cool, now I have to get the maximum rating of 5 stars on my island. So then that became my focus. And it's just been kind of like this slow build of, I paid off my house. Now I got a 5-star island. Then I was like, I need every kind of flower.
Okay. That sounds
so
cool.
I spent weeks putting virtual flowers into virtual land and watering them virtually to then turn off my Switch, wait 24 hours, come back and see if maybe I got a different color or I have to do it all over again.
That's commitment. All right.
And I did not finish that task, unfortunately.
Okay. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah. If you're a completionist on things, Animal Crossing is a blessing because there are so many things to complete, but it's also a curse because it is so meticulous and monotonous to complete them.
So then, like, what's one of your most favorite parts about it besides the, well, yeah, what's one of your favorite parts about Animal Crossing in general then?
It's very go at your own pace. So it's not like I know a lot of video games are like very go at your own pace, but because you're in control of like the goals you're going to achieve, it's very much like there was a period where I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to chill on my house because I want to work on putting a botanical garden in my island. So then I took time to go and just do this little task and then went back to working on paying off my home. Or there's also like an insect and fish encyclopedia that you can fill. And throughout the year, there are different bugs and different fish that appear at different times on your island. And so sometimes it's fun to go just like work on whatever's available and then come back to it. So everything, there is so many little things to do, but I'm entirely in control of when I do them and how they get done.
That part seems relaxing as opposed to doing a mission and then you have to like rescue 7 hostages and murder 15 different terrorists within 20 minutes. Otherwise you yourself fail.
Yeah. And like even today, so like today on my Twitch stream, I was playing Pikmin 3 and they were like, you have to get back to your rocket ship in the next 10 seconds. And I was in a panic. So I was like, how, this isn't relaxing at all. I am stressed. So it's really nice to have something that there is no, like, there's no real stress to it. You just do your thing and have some fun.
Right on. So if people were to check out your island, what would you say is one of the things that you're most impressed or would like to show off most about your island? Like, what's your favorite thing on your island?
Oh, my favorite thing on my island is I have a little town square where all of my shopping is.
Okay.
So it took me days, but I did this whole grid mapping of like one square at a time of where I was putting the tailor shop where you buy all the clothes and where I was putting the general store, and then I mapped everything else between it. And then I found all these different furniture items that look like little stalls.
Okay.
And I put those around, and then I put random trinkets and things on them. So then it looks like a little shopping center area, like a little town square. And it's, I think cause I worked so hard on it. It's my favorite thing in the whole island.
You should take a screenshot so that once this episode comes up, we can show off what you're talking about, so people know what's up.
Yeah, I can. I can hop on my island and get some pictures.
Right on. Well, that is super cool. I'm not like after this conversation, I'm not sure that I have the patience for this game, because like my gaming experiences is more like mission driven, kind of like a Mass Effect Andromeda. But at least now I totally get what people are talking about, especially with all the customization and stuff that you were saying.
Yeah, no, it's such a personalized experience, because they give you options for everything, and it's so wild. But yeah, mission games are fun too. I love some good mission games.
Sometimes I just need like a HUD point to tell me where to go next.
Yeah, I feel that.
And speaking of where to go next, right now we're going to talk about some of our science and history facts of the week. Are you ready to learn some stuff, Steven?
Yeah, I'm ready to get edumacated.
Right on. So, May 29th, do you know what's made up but kind of important but totally made up about May 29th?
About May 29th?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'll give you a hint. Like, you know how,
okay,
like you have like a national yada yada day, or like a pet your favorite velociraptor day, like all these sort of made up days?
Oh yeah, like a speak like a whale day.
So May 29th is one of those. What would you think is a very ridiculous thing to happen in May?
May 29th sounds like either national or international put a hat on your cat day.
Oh, dude, you were close. It is put something on something day, and it is put a pillow on your fridge day.
Like on top of the fridge?
Yes. Because apparently back in the early 1900s, families would place a piece of cloth in their larders. It's celebrated in Europe and the USA to bring luck and wealth to the household.
What's a larder?
I'm bringing it up right now because I figured that's exactly what the question would be. What is a larder? Come on, don't. I think this. I'm still recording. Awesome. Let's see.
A larder.
The piece of cloth would have typically been torn from something kept in their bedroom, such as a blanket or nightgown, before being put in their larder. So once again, that is the third time we've mentioned the word larder. So now I have to look it up. L-A-L-A-R-D-E-R?
Whatever it means, I need to use it in my daily life now.
It is a room or large cupboard cupboard for storing. It's a pantry.
Oh, okay.
Yep. People say, what's the difference between a pantry and a larder? Pantry is a room where food, provisions, dishes, or linens are stored to serve in an ancillary capacity to the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's what a pantry is. Larder is a cool area for storing food prior to use. Like meat and game would be hanged there. So it's like a giant refrigerated pantry, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So then I can't really use that in everyday conversation.
Let's see. They believe that placing a piece of cloth from their bedroom into the place where their food was kept brought about the possibility of plentiful food and rich fertility to their household.
Okay. So if I just throw a blanket over things, more stuff will appear.
Pretty much, especially in that cold room or large cupboard.
Lit. Okay.
Yeah, it's Latin from the word lardum, which means pork, fat, or bacon.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah, so that's our yikes. That's the weird what of the day fact. I got another cool thing. Are you a Coke or Pepsi person?
Like the brand or the specific?
If you were to drink a soda, would it be a Coke or a Pepsi?
It'd probably be a Coke.
Okay.
But I don't even drink Coke that often. I'm more of like a root beer, Dr. Pepper guy.
Gotcha. Well, if you were to guess places in the world where you couldn't buy a Coca-Cola, what two countries would you think would be the only places you can't buy Coca-Cola?
The only two places, I'm going to say like Russia.
Okay,
or,
that's one. And what's the other answer?
Antarctica.
You can actually find them. Well, you can probably find it. You can't find anything in Antarctica, Stephen.
Listen, your question was to guess the two. I gave you an answer.
Fair. Well, according to Best Life Online, it's North Korea and Cuba.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, almost anywhere. It just hasn't officially made its way to North Korea or Cuba. It gets kind of political after that, but you might be able to, to get some imported if you really feel like it.
If it's really necessary.
Another fun fact about geography, as we're talking about things, the entire world's population could fit inside Los Angeles.
Yes, it can.
Because LA is huge.
And the rent would not get any cheaper.
Oh, no. 500 square miles in L.A. You know, like, here's your six feet. Cool. It's $100,000.
Yeah. And honestly, the traffic would still be there.
Even if you're just walking.
Yeah, that's why I always took the subway. I like the subway. That was fun.
You always took the subway? So there's a subway in Southern California?
There is. So it was mostly when I was in college, because I went to a college in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bus station nearby. And so there's this whole transit system. So we would take the bus into North Hollywood, where the start of the subway lines were. So you would take the subway from like wherever North Hollywood it was, and we would take it down to like touristy area where like Grauman's Chinese Theater and stuff is. But you could also take it down to like the central station, where then you could hop on the other railways to go to other parts of Los Angeles.
Awesome.
Yeah. Little Tokyo was lit. I love that place so much. There's a mochi ice cream place where you could get a piece of mochi ice cream for $2.
Okay. The ice cream for $2 sounds like a great time.
Oh, so good. So good.
Well, speaking of a good time, we're now coming up on our word of the episode. It's where I get to tell you a word and you get to tell me what you think it means and where it comes from.
I've been dreaming of this moment.
It's going to be great. The word of the episode is exult. Spelled E-X-U-L-T, exult.
Well, so wait, exult?
Yeah.
Well, I know like there's exalt. I've heard exalt before, but exult.
Same thing. So
they're similar?
I think so. Tell me what you think it means.
Oh, God. I entirely forgot what exalt means now.
How would you use
but
it?
I feel like exalt. You would be exalting something. It's an action. So we're going to.
Okay, I'm with you.
So to exult, so it would be like, or they are exalted. Like you would use it in. Does it?
I've got a quote here from Homer's Iliad. To drive his chariot through the waves. From whirl pits every way, the whales exulted under him.
Like they blasted out of the water, like flew in the air.
That's one of them. One of the definitions is to leap for joy.
Okay.
The other definition is to be extremely joyful, like rejoice, exaltation.
Wow.
It's cool. That is the word of the week. Where do you think it comes from?
Is that Latin?
It does spring from the Latin saltare, which means to leap, like saltation. So exaltation.
See, I knew I had heard that before. I was like, I know this. I never heard this word.
Oh, it's old school, like 16th century.
Yeah, throwing it back.
For joy. So that is our word of the week. Kind of cool, right?
I feel exalted knowing that. Yeah.
And so that's going to bring us, because we're coming up towards the end here, to our randomtriviageneratorcom. This is where I'm going to rapid fire 6 questions at you. And your job is to give me the best answer that you can, or funniest, as quickly as you can.
Let the panic set in. Let's go.
All right. In the 2002 movie Spider-Man, what was Peter Parker's profession?
He was a pizza delivery guy.
That's the sequel, Spider-Man 2.
You know what?
In the first movie, he's a photographer.
All I remember is him crying.
That just happens too much in all of those Spider-Man movies.
Exactly. Can't blame me.
A science question. Which animal lives in a lodge?
Oh, lives in a lodge?
Yep.
Oh, God. A platypus?
Close. A beaver.
No, they live in dams.
This says it's... Well, now we're going to have to pause the random trivia generator. Beavers live in a... Both ways.
Okay, fine.
Yep, but dome-like homes are called lodges. Normally located... further down from the dams.
Oh. I guess that makes sense.
Continuing on with the Random Trivia Generator, brought to you by randomtriviageneratorcom. In motor racing, what does a red flag mean?
Isn't it like a slow down, something's happening on the track?
That's a yellow flag. The red flag means that the session has stopped.
Ah. No more left turns.
In history, which Apollo space mission put the first men on the moon?
The name of the mission?
Yep.
Like,
give me a number.
1?
Apollo 11 is what put the first men on the moon.
Oh, I'm going to be...
Here we go. Question number 5. What French word for jewel became a common name for American movie houses?
Name for jewel. I'm like, it can't be. Oh God. French word for jewel?
Yep.
I have no idea. I know it's not like Nickelodeon.
It is not. It is bijou.
Bijou, like a kiss?
Well, that's like beso. Bijou. Like B-I-J-O-U. Bijou.
Oh, okay.
And then finally, Video Killed the Radio Star was the debut music video on which channel in 1981?
MTV.
That is correct.
I knew that one.
Nice work. That is the random... TriviaGenerator.com. Congratulations, you passed. Or at least you survived.
I did something. I did that.
I'm proud of you. Nice work. So now that we've reached the end of our episode, we normally ask people a question of the episode based on something we've talked about. So Stephen, what would you like our question of the episode to be?
Oh, that's a hard one. Well, I mean, earlier we talked about cooking shows we liked, so we could do something based around cooking shows.
Okay.
What, or like, oh, I don't know. I'm bad with coming up with these things.
So if you're talking about cooking shows, if you were on a cooking show, what would be, the dish you would make on it?
Yeah. Well, like what dish would you present to a panel of judges on a cooking show?
What dish would you present to a panel of judges on a cooking show?
Yeah, I think that could get interesting.
Right on. I dig it. So before we go into the nitty gritty of the send off here, is there anything that you'd like to plug?
There is something I would love to plug. What is it? Self advertisement. I am now streaming on twitch.tv. You can find me there. you can find me there at Twitch. So TWITCH.
Okay.
.tv/ This is where it gets tricky. It's Steven, spelled STEVEN with a PH.
So is it It's Steven or just Steven with a PH?
It's Steven.
Okay, so ITS STEVEN WITHAPH.
Yeah.
Right on.
So you can find me there. I stream every Monday and Tuesday, possibly Saturdays. I don't know yet. But you can always find me there Monday and Tuesday nights.
Very cool. And for those of you out there, if you'd like to answer our question of the week, which of course is which dish would you prepare to a panel of judges on a cooking show, you can do so or participate in any of our conversations. You can even tell us about, you know, your love of Animal Crossing or show off your island or anything like that by doing so at Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O, Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O, or email us didyouknowryano@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Stephen, for joining us on this awesome episode.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
It's been a great time. We'll have to do it sometime in the near future.
Party.
And for those of us here, to those of you out there, we hope that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time. Did you know it?